I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, you heard him talk about his hilarious new memoir earlier this week. Now find out what tunes author and comedian Baratunde Thurston is listening to these days. That is later in the program. But first, we want to take some time to pay attention to a topic that some people think has been neglected by the news media: missing people of color. African Americans alone are around 13% of the population, but according to the FBI, African Americans accounted for more than 30% of the missing person reports filed in 2010. But I think it's fair to say that that is not something you would know, judging from many news reports. Now, critics have started to ask why cases involving people of color don't seem to get as much attention as those involving white victims, particularly white females. And they're also asking whether this relative neglect plays a role in the ability or perhaps interest of law enforcement in solving these cases. But now there's a new television series that's trying to go beyond the media critique to actually help solve some of these open cases. Find Our Missing is a 10-part series that debuted in January on TV One. The show profiles open cases of African Americans who are missing. Here's a short clip.
This is a victim. This is someone's sister. This is someone's child. This is someone's loved one.
I never thought I wouldn't see her again. That never crossed my mind.
Fear of not knowing. That's almost indescribable to me.
Joining us to talk more about Find Our Missing is the host, S. Epatha Merkerson. She is an award-winning actor. She's perhaps best known for her long-running role as Police Lieutenant Anita Van Buren on NBC's Law and Order. She's with us now. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Derica Wilson. She is the president of the Black and Missing Foundation. That's a nonprofit that works to bring attention to missing African Americans. The organization collaborated with TV One to bring about the Find Our Missing series. She's also with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I should say joining us once again, because we previously spoke with you on this program about your efforts to start this foundation. And I'd want to mention you are a former police officer. You're actually currently still a police investigator, so it's Officer Wilson. And you found this organization because?
Well, back in the days, I'm from Spartanburg, South Carolina, and there was a young lady that went missing by the name of Tamika Houston, and her family struggled to get media coverage. And months later, Natalie Holloway disappeared, and she was dominating local and national news. And after doing some research, we found that there was a lot of persons of color missing that were not getting the awareness.
What difference does it make, and particularly drawing upon your experience as an officer yourself, what difference does that media coverage make? A lot of people would say, well, so what? That's a separate issue. Investigating what the police are doing, what law enforcement is doing, and what the media is doing are two different things.
Media coverage is very vital in the safe recovery of missing persons. We all know that time is of the essence, and if we can put out that profile of this missing person, the chances of a reunion with their family members are greater.
What does it do, though? Is it just brings in more information? What does it put the heat on law enforcement, to put it bluntly? What does it do?
Absolutely, it does. It put the heat on law enforcement to be more proactive, to utilize other resources to find these missing persons.
Epatha, why did you want to be involved in this? As we know, you're a very accomplished actor, and clearly there are lots of projects that you could turn your hand to. What made you want to get involved?
Well, I had been hearing this dialogue that was happening on the radio about people of color who were missing. And shortly after that realization, I got a call from TV One asking me would I host the show. And it just felt like a no-brainer. And as I started reading some of the cases, then I felt like I was being a part of a community in need, of our community in need.
Is there a sense, though, that the identification of you as Police Lieutenant Anita Van Buren, a very popular role? In fact, I think your role was historic, and I think you were the longest-running African-American character on network television.
Primetime. Well, and I think absolutely it had something to do with why they asked. I think that my job on this show is really to put a face to what we are now calling the call to action, which happens at the end of the show. It puts a face on it. It allows people to see someone that they trusted on television. They trusted my characterization of Van Buren. And so, yeah, I think it does help having a face to bring people in.
The format is similar to America's Most Wanted, if people remember that program. There are reenactments, there are interviews with family members and friends and people who might have relevant information. It's interesting that the series, it's only been on for a couple of weeks, but it's already been noted for the high production value. I'm wondering if you think that that matters. I mean, the information clearly is important. That's what you want to get out there. But the fact that it's well produced, do you think that that's important?
Absolutely, because the best way to tell the story is in the production of it, is to tell a clear story. And what I love about the production is that it takes you to the actual place where the person went missing. It starts there. You have the visual in front of you, which is, to me, a production value that is invaluable.
We're talking with Esipaetha Merkerson. She's the award-winning actress, and she is host of the new TV One docudrama series, Find Our Missing. The purpose of the series is to document and hopefully gather information about African-American people who have been the subject of missing persons reports. Also with us is Derica Wilson. She is the president of the Black and Missing Foundation. She's also a former police officer and is now a current police investigator who started this foundation in order to draw more attention to the cases of African-Americans who have been missing. The program, it doesn't sugarcoat the fact that there are some choices, lifestyle choices involved in some of these cases. Like, for example, there was one case that was profiled in the series where the children were evidently abducted but were left alone by the parent. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested in, you know, your take on that.
Well, there are lifestyle choices, but this right here could be a distraction. At the end of the day, this person is missing, and we don't want to focus on the lifestyle choices that the people make. We want to focus on the fact that this person is missing.
Well, but one of the stories profiled points out the fact that no one in the family called the police for hours. They were out in the streets searching for the children themselves. But the program speculates that maybe one of the reasons they didn't call the police is that they were afraid that they would be judged for the fact that the children were home alone.
Well, but that could be the case. And also, what about the fact that so many people think that there is a waiting period in contacting law enforcement? You know, some people think that you have to wait 24 hours before you can call the police when it's a child, it's immediately. Mm-hmm. And understanding the laws in your state, for example, in Washington, D.C., as well as in Illinois, if it's an adult missing, you can call immediately. So I think people need to understand the laws in their state.
I
just want to say, if I may speak for the producers, I think that it was intentional that they tell the story honestly, and they've taken these stories directly from the local law enforcement. So they're getting every bit and piece of this story to present it to the public. And I think that there's a twofold reason to let folks know exactly how these things can happen in families, but also as a learning tool. So these are things that you should be aware of as well in your family, with your children, with your loved ones. So it's kind of twofold, I think.
How were the cases selected? Does either of you know?
Well, they wanted to go from all walks of life. And what we want people to understand is that it doesn't matter if you live in the rural area, the suburbs, it can happen to anyone, anywhere, at any time. So they wanted to go through all walks of life of selecting people that are missing just to show.
I mean, I was interested in that because one of the implied criticism of the series, and in your case, Derica, it's an explicit criticism, is that the news media cherry picks cases. It cherry picks people who they think will be of interest. And for whatever reason, it tends to be attractive white women and cute kids. And I don't, Epatha, do you mind if I ask you, why do you think that is? I mean, I know you're not a journalist, but you've been around it for a long time. Why do you think that is?
You know, we can charge racism, we can charge apathy. I really don't know why it is so, because these cases, when you start learning of the different lives of these people and the years they've been without information on their loved ones, it's so imperative that this information be given a national forum. I can't explain why that happens, other than that there is apathy about persons of color who are missing. And when people see this show, I think they will be moved to understand why this is so important, that these cases be given a national forum. One of the things I learned from Derica is that a lot of cases are involved with human trafficking. And so, indeed, a national forum is what's important, because someone who may have been missing in Chicago could be anywhere in this country and in this world, literally. You know, Derica certainly can speak on that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. Do you feel that since you've started working with the Black and Missing Foundation, trying to bring attention to cases of missing persons who are not always covered by the national media and the local media, for that matter, there's been a lot more attention to human trafficking?
Yes.
And people making the connection between people being abducted and being put into this situation, which is a form of modern day slavery. Do you feel that you're making headway in getting people to understand that this is not just a matter of, you know, a girl going off with her boyfriend and not wanting to call home?
Yes, I think we're making a lot of headway. At the same time, I feel that we still have a long way to go. We are on the right path. And just to reiterate the importance of just putting the information out there. For example, we actually just reunited a young lady, 11-year-old young lady with her family, who was in sex trafficking. Human trafficking.
You mean, wait, do you mean the foundation, or do you mean on the course of the television program?
The foundation.
The foundation.
The foundation.
Was able to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What happened to the girl?
She was abducted, and she was actually getting ready to be sold off. And because of vigilant community activists coming forward, sharing the information out there, someone spotted that young lady and reported it.
Was she on the street? I mean, how was she abducted?
Outside playing.
She was outside playing.
Outside playing.
So it's like an Elizabeth Smart situation, who was abducted from her own bedroom. She was just outside her own neighborhood playing, and somebody took her off the
street.
Someone
has taken her. So one of the things that we really do encourage families to do is make sure that you are checking the sex offender registry frequently, where your kids go to school, where you live, where you work, because there are so many predators that are preying on our children. And these kids are disappearing at an alarming rate. I mean, 2,000 kids are reported missing daily. That's a lot of kids. How many Amber Alerts do you hear about these kids?
Derica, before we let you go, we'd like to ask, as we mentioned, that the series premiered just last month. Mm-hmm. So a couple of episodes have been aired. Do you feel that you've gotten any useful information as a result of airing the series?
Absolutely. We have received tips and since the series has aired. And when we receive those tips, we pass them on to law enforcement. One of the things that S.E. Pathis states at the end of the show, you know, it's everybody's responsibility. This is the call to action. She's sharing the phone number for our community to contact the police. But on our website, we have an anonymous tip line. And we understand that our community, there is a lack of trust. So they are coming to us providing those tips, and we're sharing those tips with law enforcement. At the end of the day, all we are wanting is reunions, closure, and justice for families.
Ipeth, a final thought from you?
Well, you know, I had the opportunity to meet Rose Starnes, who's the mother of Yasmin Akri, 15-year-old. I met Ayanna Patterson, who's the mother of Alexis Patterson, who's been missing for 10 years. And when you meet these families, you understand how important it is that anyone who has information on someone who's missing, how important it is for these families to be reunited with their loved ones and give these families some type of closure.
S.E. Pathis Merkerson is the winner of an Emmy and a Golden Globe. She is now hosting Find Our Missing. It's a series on TV One that airs Wednesday evenings at 9. She was here with us from New York. Also with us, Derica Wilson. She is the president of the Black and Missing Foundation. That's a nonprofit that works to bring attention to missing African Americans. And she was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Ladies, thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.